said, wake up, puff.
This is Mix 94.5's Clazzy, Matt and Kimber.
Clazzy, Matt and Kimber in the morning.
Hey podcasters, Clazzy, Matt and Kimber here.
On today's catch-up,
Kimber's kid's story all about Perth.
The tenants from hell.
Pete Hellier gave us some book writing tips.
And we review the new Labour of Love TV reality show.
Clazzy, Matt and Kimber in the morning.
On Mix 94.5.
We are writing children's books this week. Yep. I noticed that the request was put in for me to write my book before we got all the advice from all these...
From the experts.
From the experts.
Yeah.
I feel like I could have used that information first.
Sorry about that.
But I did my best.
And we're just jumping on the bandwagon, basically, aren't we? Everyone else seems to be writing a kid's book, so it can't be that hard.
Well, they've
got one coming out based on Sweet Child of Mine from Guns N' Roses. Yep. I mean, anyone could put one out.
Yeah, we made the foolish assumption that anyone could write a children's book because people seem to do it. But that is not actually the case. No. It's actually quite hard to do.
Yeah, it turns out anyone can have children.
Yeah.
It
doesn't mean
thing.
They should. Yeah. But... I've come up with a little story. Now, of course, because this is radio, we have to actually read that out.
Okay.
You can't just have the book sitting here.
Hang on, I'm going to get comfortable.
That's a problem. Yeah.
I'd like to introduce you to the book launch of Bearsy Rat and Simba's Trip to Perth.
Bearsy Rat and Simba's Trip to Perth.
Hey, what's that?
The bell tower, built in 1999.
So it's a great big clock as well?
Nope, it doesn't tell the time.
Then what's it for?
Yeah, what's it for?
Haha, he doesn't know.
Look, no one does. That's kind of its thing.
Come on, we'd better go. Let's get food.
Yeah, great idea.
What about Yagan Square?
It says here that you can get a curry jaffle there. That was yummy. Where to next?
How about down here?
It's after nine in Northbridge now. That's really not a good idea.
Can we go to the beach tomorrow?
Of course we can. Which one?
Anywhere but Swanbourne.
Last time I saw a bum.
There's festivals here all the time.
Let's go check out some shows.
Why don't drivers here know how to merge?
Sadly, no one knows.
What's that?
It's an arena.
What's that?
Sports stadium.
What's that?
A green cactus thing.
Why?
Well, it's getting late. Should we get back?
Or can we night fish off a jetty or see a rooftop movie?
Or eat the moon's late night biscotti?
Not today. It's time for bed. But wait until tomorrow. We're heading out to Rotto with Channel 9's Tomo.
Oh, what a sweet story, Kimba.
Wow.
Great job.
Thank you. That's my kids' book for you.
Oh, you say a kids' book, but WA Tourism are interested.
Yeah, and Channel 9 are pretty happy too.
We covered all the hot spots in Perth.
Beautiful but I tell you what a killjoy that tour guide is. All of the good stuff. No, we don't want to do that.
He was a bit safety first,
wasn't
he?
He really was.
He was. Well, that's okay because next time I can do, Bearsy, Rat and Simba's trip into Northbridge at 2 a.m.
Oh, yeah, you're talking.
Anything could happen.
Great.
Beautiful. Munchies after. Love it.
Well done.
All right, well, that means Matt and I have got a job to do over the next couple of days.
That's big shoes to fill.
Oh,
absolutely.
Who's booked tomorrow?
Yeah, it's me.
Bearsy.
Oh, okay. Good luck, Bearsy.
Oh, crazy.
Clazzy, Matt and Kimber in the morning.
On Mix 94.5.
Clazzy, you mentioned Tenants from Hell a second ago, and instantly I get this feeling in my gut because I hate these stories. I hate seeing stories of people who are renting out their home and people go in and destroy it.
Yeah, it sounds like the regular current affair story, doesn't it?
It does,
you
yes.
Know, the tenants from hell. Now, this one is a landlord that I saw this story and it hit me on the weekend. Now, this is a guy who's got a small property in Mandra.
Mm-hmm.
And he did the right thing by a couple who were struggling a bit. Now, he let them, put them into his property. And this kind of thing often happens and people are let down when they're good Samaritans.
Mm.
So when these people were struggling with their rent, he let them stay there for free. For a while, but they were paying some rent at some stage.
Okay.
The damage done to this property, and quite often you'll see people will get a hire house or whatever for an Airbnb and trash it during a party or whatever.
Sure.
But this was done in 2 months. The damage was that very quickly when you leave food, clothes, rubbish, feces, those kinds of things lying around, the cockroaches and the bugs come very, very quickly.
Sure.
But this was somewhere between $10,000 and $50,000 or $60,000 repair job. And a lot of that is just getting four skips to throw all of the crap into.
Right.
This guy was, he looked pretty much heartbroken. And these are, this more than often happens to people who are not rich property developers or people who've got multiple properties. It's just someone who's trying to get ahead by having that investment property there.
Yeah. And also too, the insurance on these things is really hard to get and it doesn't protect you against everything.
Yeah.
So there's some, when I got insurance, I had to say to them, okay, well, what happens if my tenant set up a meth lab in the house?
Mm.
Is that going to be a thing? You know?
Well, there seemed to be an issue with this one. He wasn't sure if the house was contaminated, the property contaminated as well, which is an extra clean. It's a lot more money.
Yeah, lots of the things that they cover you for, you're not covered for in the end, and people need to be careful with that because it's so, they just come in and they trash the joint.
And it's extraordinary to think that people, I mean, not that I'm condoning living in a meth lab or anything, but I guess that's in some ways a business, right? Like they're I just mean that please let me finish my thought.
Yeah, please do.
You know, rather than just living in squalor as opposed to doing something that you think is a way of earning, you know, if you're just living in your own filth, why would anyone do that?
That's what it appeared to be. And I don't know what other things were going on with these people, their other sort of habits or whatever might have been happening.
Yeah.
But it also looks like in 2 months, it looks like some people, whether they're hoarders as well, they don't throw anything out. And that includes rubbish and food scraps, which is really unfortunate. And often you'll see it's like a cliche. The dishes are not done for 2 months as well. And the bugs are just everywhere. The cockroaches and rats are just disgusting.
Oh, it's so sad. If you've had this happen, give us a call, 133353. Tell us about your story of your tenants from hell.
Yeah.
You know, it's really sad too, because people who have rented and are lifelong renters or have rented for a long period of their time really want to try and get a nice place. And there's this suspicion going around that they're not going to be good tenants.
They're going to be dodgy.
That's what I hate about these stories.
Lots of wonderful tenants out there that do a really good job and take better care of the property than anyone else would.
Yeah.
And then you get the odd bad egg that comes in and just destroys the joint.
And landlords and property managers and the rest, all the people who do that job themselves, really suspicious.
We want to know what's happened to you. Marie in Waikiki, you had some tenants from hell. What went wrong?
Well, we went down for inspection because at the time we were living in the wheat belt and we went down for inspection, and into his bedroom, the guy had motorbike spaces on the carpet, and he even had the oil bowls where the oil from the motorbike were in.
Oh, dear.
And before he moved in there, we put completely new carpet through. So when he got asked to leave, we had to renew the carpets because it was, as you know, oil from cars, motorbike, just does not come out.
And you know, the best way to get oil out of carpet is to put red wine on it. That's the only way to... can't really do much, can you?
No, you can't.
Nightmare.
Well, the best way to keep oil out of carpet is not putting motorbikes in.
Yeah, probably do your repairs in the garage. Yeah.
Well, I was gobsmacked when we walked in and my horse, I reckon my jaw hit the floor and bounced back again.
Yeah, so he didn't get his bond back, Marie?
Well, the way the laws are, yes, he did.
Oh, dear.
Wow.
It's tragic, isn't it?
And all we could get out of it from our tenants' insurance was $80.
Right.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I when we talk about this, I encourage people to check on their insurance and see what they're eligible for too, because we know there's lots of special hidden words and writing in there.
What? Loopholes in insurance?
Really?
Never.
I know.
Someone in the insurance company with that job to find out.
No, surely not. Thank you, Marie.
Good on you, Marie. Thanks
for
sharing.
Sorry that happened to you.
All right. Thank you. Have a lovely day.
And this is so damaging for people. You know, they're just trying their best to get ahead.
And it breeds mistrust.
Yeah, it does.
You know, as you say, Kimber, in renters that are doing the right thing.
Like you said, as a renter, you've sort of felt that, haven't you?
Absolutely.
Let's go to Stoneville. G'day, Leanne. Have you got a story for us? Because they're quite often stories of woe, these ones.
Well, this is a woozy. Yes, we had a rental property in Swanview, and I felt sorry for this single mother with four young children.
Yeah.
So I went through... made them go through the real estate agent and everything like that. And about 4 months later, my next door neighbour rang me and she says, oh my gosh, Leanne, you should see your house. You should come down and have a look.
Oh dear.
So I drove down to have a look and I was just devastated at the state of it. But she actually ripped my side mirror off my car and told me to get out of her driveway.
Oh no.
Oh, the renter.
Yes.
Right.
So then I went to the real estate agent to say, well, I've been paying for these monthly inspections. What's happening? Well, they hadn't been going round there. So I ended up having to take them to court. And because she was a single mother with four young children, she only had to pay me $2.50 a week.
Oh, dear.
Forever. $35,000, $40,000 later. She paid me $2.50 a week for 4 weeks, and then she went AWOL and we couldn't find her.
Oh, dear.
Leanne, no one wants to go to court, but did you consider suing the real estate company?
I did actually, and I tried to get them in court, but they closed their doors.
Oh, okay.
So I couldn't track them down, and there was like dog feces in the bedrooms, so spaghetti on the ceiling. There was potato gems that had got actually molded into the gorilla.
Oh.
It was just like the bathroom looked like it was a sewer.
It's so sad. It's not just the money too. Lots of people, it's you who has to go in and clean it up and do all the
work. Well, it saves you a bit of money. That's also a thing.
Some of these people, you know, that was your home that you loved and you took care of, and it's hard to see it in that state.
Always tarnished in your mind, that property then. Did you go through that, Leanne?
We ended up, we had to redo everything. We redid the bathroom, redid the kitchen, and we ended up selling it because it was just, it just broke our hearts.
Yeah.
Like, you put your trust in people. I felt sorry for her because she was a single mum, because the real estate, you know, at the end of the day said you have the option to let these people rent it.
Yeah.
And I just thought, well, the dog and the cats and, the wall, even the doors had dog claws down them where they had locked them in the bedroom or something.
Yeah.
Oh, so sorry,
you're getting
Leanne.
On the ceiling. Yeah, not nice. Thanks, Leanne. Thanks for sharing your story.
Can you put a sour taste in my mouth for doing a rental property?
Absolutely. Yeah, the lines are open. That's amazing, isn't it? They're always very similar stories.
It sounds awful, but it does sound like most of the places I lived in as a student.
Yeah. No, you would have eaten the spaghetti. You wouldn't have been on the roof.
Graham's given us a call from Mount Hawthorne. Graham, did you have some tenants from hell?
Oh, they were wonderful. Absolutely great team. How are you?
Hey, Graham. Good to talk to you, mate. What did you have and where were they?
We had a property that we did up and we're just finishing renovating, and our managing agent found a lovely couple with a young kid who were going to move in. They didn't want the lawn mowed for them. They'd do it themselves. They'd look after the house. It was great. And for about 4 or 5 months, everything was fantastic.
Sure.
And then the next month, the managing agent says that they're too scared to go and see the property.
Oh, good.
Oh, dear.
Right.
That was a quick turnaround.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, poo. and actually, that's quite interesting, because when we went down there, there were, what have they done? They damaged the doors. They made it filthy. They'd put nappies on the roof. They had a pile of rubbish stored outside, and we actually got them evicted. When we were doing that, we went round and we had another pile of nappies in the backyard. They'd put nappies into the ceiling space so that cockroaches got there and they were living out, and they were mopping black mud from one side of the kitchen to the other.
Oh.
And we just said, leave, and we started cleaning it up. As we cleaned it up, we then had damage to the house. They stole the hot water storage system.
Oh, God.
$50 and took that away. They stole our back shed. And they did this over several months, and the police got involved.
Right.
So.
Wowee. How much did all that cost you, Graham, do you think?
Oh, no, tens of thousands.
Yeah.
Because our insurance covered the initial bit and the loss of rent.
Yeah.
But when a tenant is no longer there for 3 months, you're no longer covered with insurance. And this went on for about 4 or 5 months.
Oh, so after they got kicked out, they kept coming back and stealing stuff.
They moved into a container in the house next door.
Oh, no. They were so close.
That doesn't even...
We would go and renovate and fix everything up that we did on the weekends and then come back on Friday to find that it was damaged again. And we actually thought we were smart. The police said to us, put a camera in there, and we put a little computer with a camera there to catch them out in the backyard, because there was marijuana out where the shed used to be. And the window got smashed and the computer got stolen.
Of course it did. Yeah. You forget it. I was going to say there's a nappy on it.
This is what happens when you rent to NRL players, Graham.
Yes. If I played rugby union, it would have been fine.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, rah-rah.
Good on you, bud.
Thanks, Graham. All the best, mate.
I mean, it gives you hope that you can kind of laugh about it when you're looking back. Like, he had good spirits about it, even though it was clearly a horrible thing.
But this is the thing. I get not necessarily looking after the place like it's your own, but dirty nappies.
Oh, they turn feral.
Why wouldn't you put them in the bin?
Hey, Anne in Armidale, what happened at your place? Be honest.
I'll be honest, it was a rental. It went through an agency.
Yep.
The rent tenants were paying rent for quite some time, and everything was going nicely. Then we received a call from the neighbours basically telling us that the house had been boarded up by the tenants.
Right.
And that subsequently there was a lot of coming and going from the house. We thought it was drug related, but it turned out they'd turned it into a brothel.
Oh, turn on the red light.
You're getting your rent paid by the hour.
Apparently, but apparently he used to sit in the park across the road while the business was going on indoors.
Sure.
And when we went to have a look at the house, absolutely nothing had been done inside. So,
wow.
Yeah, it was absolutely gross.
Place of business.
Yes, but, I mean, just going online and what Matt was saying earlier about meth labs, well, at least they were conducting a business. But
yeah.
Oh, the rent was always on time.
Yeah, we just went in, we replaced the red globe out the front and everything was fine.
Yeah, so we got extra money. Wow.
Totally agree. So, yeah, I'm more lighthearted. Note, I feel for those people with tenants.
Yeah.
It's dreadful.
So did you end up kicking them out, Anne? And what did you do about it?
Oh, they did a runner because the police were involved then.
Oh, okay. No, gotcha. Okay. Gotcha. Mm. Yeah, but you're right. They do. People get their places trashed. And when you're cleaning it, to save money, you're cleaning up poo and cockroaches. Oh. Disgusting.
Wow. We're cleaning more than that.
So, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Exactly.
It's a good insurance job.
Thanks, Anne. Crazy Matt and Kimbo in the morning. On Mix 94.5. Story time. So, guys, the challenge was thrown out there by you, Kimber Kale, for us to write a kid's book.
Oh, how hard can it be? Turns out it's actually kind of hard, but so we've got to get tips from people who know what they're doing.
From award-winning novelists.
Mm. Yeah, Frankie Fish in The Sonic Suitcase. He's written a few of these now. His name is Pete Hallier, and he joins us this morning. G'day, Pete, and welcome.
Good morning, guys. How are we?
We're well, Pete. We're trying to smash out these children's books this week, and so we're getting hot tips, the ones that are really going to work. Now, you've written a number of Frankie Fish books. Do you sit down and commit to writing for a certain period of time, or are you just going ad hoc based on how creative you're feeling?
No, you do have to make time to sit down. I think Bryce Courtney called it bum glue, where you just need to glue your bum to a chair and write.
So is it true that Bryce Courtney originally wanted to call it the power of bum?
Power
Bungalow, yes. Yeah. Now, dude, probably like you, I grew up with those sort of dark fairy tales that people now criticise for their old-fashioned gender stereotypes. These days, kids seem to be more interested in bottom burps and buttholes. Is that where we need to head to with our themes?
You do. Even the great Pixar has realised that you can't beat a good fart gag. A good bottom burp is a nicely timed bottom burp will win you a lot of fans.
I feel so much better about mine already.
Hey, mate, with bottom burps.
Yeah, plenty of body burps. Actually, nothing else. Hey, mate, with Frankie Fish and the Sonic Suitcase, Granddad Fish, he's a bit of a curmudgeon. He's a cranky old bugger. Do you need a villain? Do you need a Granddad Fish or a baddie or a Cruella?
Yeah, you do, actually. It's a good point. You have to have a hero, you need a villain. Granddad Fish appears to be the villain early on in Sonic Suitcase, and he becomes a great ally. But we have the amazing Fredo, who becomes the villain in that story eventually.
Well, Pete, we talked about when we were kids, we would go to the local library and quite often find ourselves getting out the same book over and over. Do you have any faves that you remember?
Going right back. It's even like picture books. And this probably comes as no surprise, but The Very Hungry Caterpillar was...
Oh, yeah. That book was so dog-eared at my library.
Yeah, I bet it was.
It was great. I just could not stop, going on that journey with that caterpillar. Yeah. And when I got a bit older, the one that really kind of inspired me and the one that I still love and kind of inspired Frankie Fish was the Magic Faraway Tree.
Oh, I love it.
And that was... Yeah, it's quite a magical book.
Geez, you guys are good. I was still reading Where Did I Come From in Year 10. Go on.
Very good book, though. Gave you everything you need to know.
And the footy record, yeah.
Yes, War and Peace was big in my house. But so, unfortunately, Pete, what you're telling us is have a good idea and, get down and actually do some writing. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, well, when you said you're trying to smash out your kids' books, I mean, I wasn't filled with confidence, but it's not exactly how they get made, to be honest. It's not avocado.
Yeah, true.
Well, mine will be at 8 a.m. this morning, so we'll see just how well I've done. I might have to go back and revise this. I think I've got your tips too late.
Well, chuckers for that. I look forward to hearing it.
Thanks, mate. Well, we'll do safe social distancing and head to Bunnings to get some bum glue. Crazy Matt and Kimber
in the morning on Mix 94.5. Popular culture is an interesting beast, and reality TV, there are times when we look at reality TV and think, I wonder just how low it can go. you know, there are shows, and to me, how boring. I mean, some of it, you know, it depends on your taste.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not necessarily interested in watching people renovate, but I know people are.
Yep.
But you look at some shows where they're basically soft porn.
Yeah, some of them are.
Pretty much, you know, if it's X on the Beach or any of those ones.
Hot young people don't wear any clothes and that's there's your show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, and then they throw them together and make them jealous or angry at each other.
Absolutely, and ply them with alcohol.
Of course.
But this came on, or I saw this story and I thought, wow, I don't know how I feel about this. And I wondered how, you know, a modern woman would feel about it. It's hosted by...
He looked at Claire'sy when he said that.
Did actually, yeah.
It's hosted by Kristen Davis, who was, of course, in Sex in the City.
She was.
It's called Labour of Love, and it looks as if it's about a very professional, successful woman who's doing kind of a bachelor show to see if she can find someone to get her pregnant.
Our story starts with Christy. She seems to have it all, except one thing. A partner to start a family. So we found 15 sexy and sophisticated men who are ready to skip the dating and go straight to baby making.
I am ready to have children. My biological man clock is ticking.
Well, Maddie.
Yes.
Because I'm so pop culture.
Yes.
I've totally seen the first step.
Okay.
Have you really?
I mean, really? I've watched it. You know, and it was an interesting thing because, you know, the men all look very nice. And by all accounts, the men are saying, I'm ready to have a baby.
Sure.
Now, these two don't need to fall in love. That's the interesting thing.
Oh, okay. So it's not like Married at First Sight.
No, she's literally looking for someone to impregnate her. She said, if a relationship blossoms from that and we find love, that's a bonus.
Bonus on top of Kitty.
But all she really needs is someone to sign up for the dad part.
Right.
Okay.
Right? And it was interesting because I was like, okay, well, knowing that, then all these men, I mean, you know that what's going through their head at all times is they're just thinking about hooking up with you. Like, that, you know that they're constantly thinking about when you're going to get down to business.
I hate to tell you this, but that's happening outside of that show.
I know, but we can't, like, you guys can still feign that that's not happening.
Oh, yeah,
whereas,
that's right.
It's been pretty obvious now.
Christy walks down these steps very gracefully. She's got a huge, beautiful smile. She's obviously amazing. And the whole time I'm thinking to myself, I hope you're ready to make a lot of babies with me.
Oh, yeah, he's thinking about the business straight away.
Of course he is.
I guess initially I was interested because I thought, you know, we've talked about this many times that women feel pressured to, you know, there are some women who choose not to have children and they feel pressured that if you don't tick off that box that you somehow haven't succeeded in your life.
Yeah.
And I wondered if that angle was, you know.
This particular lady found herself in a relationship and it was going for a couple of years and then it ended around the age of 40 where she was like, well, now I'm losing my window.
Right.
And there's no time to meet another guy and spend another 2 years in a relationship looking for this. I just need this
to
guy.
Happen
so if you,
now.
Yeah, if you analyse the reality TV landscape, we've done everything now, really, haven't we? Or you think that everything's been covered. So there's renovation, there's cooking, there's survival in a house or survival on an island.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of love type games and even Married at First Sight, which some people consider ridiculous. And now this one?
Well, I thought I'd find this more offensive than I did.
Okay.
If I'm perfectly honest, I kind of went, well, I mean, that's what she wants. At least she's being honest.
Yeah.
There's plenty of people who go, I'm in this for love. I totally want to marry. And they're already cheating on you in the second ep.
Yep.
Right.
Like, I was like, it's if that's front. What she wants, they both agree and they're going, I'll be a dad. I'll be the mum. Let's see how this works out.
Okay.
So Kimber.
Very modern.
What's on a man's mind right now? Do they get to, you know, or do they have to donate?
Oh, no. I think they're going to hook up.
To do the business.
Yeah, and especially 15 minutes into the first step, this is what happened.
Those are specimen cups. I did not see this coming, no pun intended.
Yeah, this makes it real.
Right. We're not here to mess around.
So it only makes it real when they give him a specimen cup.
Okay.
The whole thing has been about you impregnating this woman. You've clearly put zero thought into it until this point.
And that was obviously a fertility test.
Fertility test. Yeah. Right. So that she knew if you weren't fertile, you're off
the
show.
Checking the swimmers.
Blimey.
Yeah, that's pretty harsh.
I mean, part of me just sort of went, at least she knows what she wants and she's going for it.
Yeah, interesting episode. We're waiting for those results. What do you talk about in the lounge room with the boys having a drink?
Yeah.
How are your swimmers?
I don't know how this is any worse than people just going out and about and just getting pregnant from anyone. Anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
Cool. But will it last? I mean, you know, does it have enough of an arc to last 15 episodes.
Well, she's still got to get to know them. You don't want to find out that you've created a baby with someone who's going to be a total jerk for the next 20 years while you raise it together. You know what I mean? He's still going to be around.
Does Osha walk in and say, sorry, Jeff, you don't get an egg?
Sorry, Jeff, your sperm just doesn't cut it.
Doesn't swim.
Nice. Crazy Matt and Kimbo in the morning on Mix 94.5. Woo! Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist.
She's a really good newsreader, but here's what Claire missed. Oh, I tell you what, this is one of intrigue, mystery. Villages in Manyari, which is on the Indian side of the very disputed Kashmiri border between India and Pakistan.
Hang on, I'm writing this down in case I'm tested on it.
Right. It'll be a quiz later.
They have captured a pigeon, which they believe is actually a Pakistani spy.
There he is.
It's the start of a great movie, isn't it?
It is.
Was the expensive suit that gave it away?
Oh, well, no, actually, I'm glad you asked. The pigeon has flown into the window of a local house.
Yep.
Okay. And the local person who owns the dwelling has noticed that this pigeon has got a tag on its foot, mm-hmm. which I thought lots of pigeons did have.
Yeah, they do, yeah. Yep.
But also, so with numbers written on it and a probe, but they haven't really explained what the probe is.
Okay.
And they've said, oi, and they've grabbed it because it's a Pakistani spy.
Yeah, right.
Okay, now it could be, I'm not saying that this person is wrong, but the Punjabi people in Pakistan do exactly that to their pigeons to claim ownership.
Right.
So who knows? I mean, there's a lot of mistrust there. Well, yeah.
It's genius. I mean, you know, you'd normally be looking for a drone
or
some CCTV. I mean, it's the last place you'd look would be a pigeon spy. Hey,
Matt, was the pigeon's name Tom and does his own stunts? Yes. Hit the window.
And how do you interrogate a pigeon?
Yeah, that's not easy.
Tell me the truth.
Speak their language.
This is not the first time that pigeons have been used in warfare.
No.
It's still to this day they have homing pigeons who can do this if communications are knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're more than 30 minutes out of Perth with my current phone provider.
They're bad, are they?
Watch this space. Love it. Crazy Matt and
Kimber
in the morning
on Mix 94.5. Kimber, have you been writing? Do you have writer's block at this point?
Well, it was too late. I mean, we put out the challenge to write these children's books this week.
Yes.
And I've had to turn it around and have it ready for this morning at 8 o'clock.
Wonderful. Well, maybe that's the best way to do, to do these things. I think we spend too long procrastinating because we're worried about getting it right.
Yeah.
And maybe just banging it out and it's going to be an absolute winner.
Maybe. Yeah. And I've sort of left myself open to
criticism.
Some sequel
books.
Yeah, big time.
Absolutely. But I've left myself open to some sequel books.
Oh, you are confident.
Have you really?
Well, look, I've gone ahead and called it Bearsy Rat and Simba's Trip to Perth.
Right.
Okay.
Now, the thing is that Bearsy, Rat and Simba can then go on to have lots of adventures together if they want to.
They could go to Adelaide.
Once the hard borders close, open.
Yeah, yes, you're true.
But, this could be the next children's book that your kid becomes obsessed with.
Yes.
You know?
A Harry Potter, a Captain Underpants.
Yeah, I certainly don't think it's going to be quite in that realm, but
Lockie Leonard.
Once kids get on a book, I know for my nephew, for example, for the last number of Christmases, I get him Andy Griffith's books.
Oh, yeah.
Andy Griffith's an Aussie author,
and he
has had such success. I mean, he's written over 30 books. He's sold over 10 million copies. He's won over 80 awards.
Yes.
Once your kid is obsessed with an author, they're into it.
Yes, and kids don't seem to mind the same story over and over again, whether it be on, a DVD or whatever. Mine was I don't know if you can say it these days, but it was called The Five Chinese Brothers.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And they were twins. Twins. They were identical. Five brothers.
I was going to say, how do two go into five?
Who all had a different talent, and one could swallow the entire sea or keep the entire sea in their mouth.
That's incredible.
One could, hold their breath forever.
So they were kind of like Power Rangers.
They were kind of
like
Power
superheroes
Rangers.
Ahead of their time, weren't they?
I loved it.
That's
unreal.
Yeah. Well, as I told you guys the other day, my kids, if I didn't on a Saturday night when I had the kids every weekend when they were little, read Bear in the Big Blue House, but the poo style version of the story.
Oh, yeah.
It was an unhappy household.
Had to keep throwing the word poo in.
I always kept trying to integrate new books. I tried a bit of Tolstoy and a few other bits and pieces. It just didn't work. Yeah, they were six and three.
I I'd be interested to know what people, what their kids are following now. Like, who's the latest big,
well,
you know?
Yeah, I can tell you David Walliams, he of Little Britain,
yep,
is big at the moment.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, yep. I like the sound of that. Yeah. And also, what are they obsessed with? It might be something that's retro and something you read as a kid. You've introduced it to the kids and they love it.
Oh, that'd yes, be nice. I can't imagine too many people are asking to see my Babysitter's Club collection.
You don't reckon?
I don't
be so sure about
never know
that. I was rifling through it the other night. It's a bloody good read.
What are we doing at her place?
Yeah.
We're trying to write these kids' books this week. We
yes,
just want to know what all the hot stuff is.
Yeah, of course.
Don't we?
Want some tips.
And, of course, we've brought in one of the great men of Mix 94.5.
Great men of radio.
Yeah, the great men of radio. Often we'll come to the table with some pretty crap stuff that we call content, and we send it to the great Neil Padgy, and he creates magic out of it. Hello, buddy.
Hi.
Hey, Neil.
You. Thank you. Yes.
Now, Padgy, you have one of the cutest children on the planet, little Maxie.
Max
comes in here. He's gorgeous. And now, what's Maxie reading? And how old is Max now?
He's four and a half.
Oh, he was one like a year ago. Isn't that amazing?
He loves books. Pig the Pug.
Pig the Pug.
Pig the Pug.
Okay.
Pig the Pug. Yep. That's
okay,
one of his favourites.
Okay.
Is that Jane Austen?
Well, it's moved on from Peppa Pig, I guess. Yeah. Pig the Pug, yeah.
Pig the Pug.
But I can't even remember. He loves books. His books are just always around. He's all over his floor, all over his bed. And
how many before he goes to bed at night, how many do you have to read?
I get away with just one.
Wow, great. Yeah. Oh. That is good parenting.
We love his toys because he brings those in too. So he's got the sparkly shoes and he's got the Buzz Lightyear gear and the toy.
Too much. Spoilt.
Now, I would imagine that in kids' books, a bit like sort of Sesame Street or, say, The Simpsons, that there's got to be levels for a book to be a great book. The kids have to like it, but the parents have to kind of enjoy it too. Is there one that works on both
True,
levels for you?
Well, like I say, Pig the Pug. It,
oh, you're
it's
really
easy.
Going this
yeah,
Pig the Pug.
You love it.
Yeah. He's into his Toy Story books. He's got the Jungle Book.
Yep.
He's got heaps of... yeah. Oh,
do you do the voices, Padgy?
Sometimes.
Really?
We should have done. We should have got you in here to do the voices of the books you read to Maxie.
All right.
Nice one. Okay.
Beautiful,
Pig the Pug.
Mate.
Check that out.
Very nice indeed.
Thanks, Padgy.
There you go. A little bit of you got a friend in me. Let's go to the phone, shall we?
Yeah.
In Sawyer's Valley. G'day, Mick.
How you going?
Good, Mick. How many kids you got?
Three.
Oh, okay. All right. And
twin boys who are six and daughter who's eight.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
And what's the story that they're obsessed with, Mick?
Hot dog.
Hot dog.
Oh, this is
hot
the
dog.
Is that the Ando series?
Ando series.
Okay.
Yeah, it's his sausage dog and his mates.
Yeah, that's the one.
Ah.
Kansas Cat and Lizzie Lizard.
Lizzie Lizard.
The kids do love the animal ones, don't they? I mean, there's Harry McClary from Donaldson's Dairy, and all of the dogs are involved in that one, that Kiwi book.
Oh, yeah, we've been through all those.
Mick, do you ever use the books as bribery for your children, like to get them to do things or, you know, to behave themselves?
I'm not sure you're allowed to call it bribery, but persuasion.
Oh, it's okay, that's not animal cruelty.
I haven't, but I will now.
Persuasion.
Persuasion's
I think that's
a good word.
Much nicer word, Mick.
Yeah, we like that.
We've currently got one of the book club forms at home, so they're all wanting and choosing, and it's like, righto.
That's cool. I'm glad they've still got book clubs going for kids. That's great.
Oh, look, they love it. I wasn't much of a reader as a kid, but yeah, every night, bang.
Good on you, bud. And don't forget Pig the Pug's out there too if you run out of hot dogs.
Oh, I hadn't heard of that one.
we've done Pig the
Pug. Oh, okay.
Oh, you've been there.
Right.
You're all pugged out.
Love it. Thanks for your call, Mick.
Good on you, Mick.
Righto. Thanks, guys.
Oh, a couple of great dads joining us on the show. How good's that?
Great.
And thank you, Neil. Well done, mate.
Thank you.
Now back in your box. Back to work.
Crazy Matt and Kimbo in the morning.
On Mix 94.5.
The latest COVID update here in Western Australia has seemed an embarrassing sort of back down from the state government.
Mm.
So we've got a ship, but it's a livestock ship, the LQ8 at Fremantle. Who and what was known when? That's the main thing as far as the state government's concerned. So we thought we'd go to Jeff Parry at 7 News and find out what's going on. Jeff, good morning.
Hello, guys. How are you going? Yes, six people off that ship after seven were tested. They're in a hotel in the city in quarantine, and the government's in a little bit of damage control about what happened with this ship.
And what do they think happened? Is it suggested that the ship had told someone that there were some people who were on board and were sick, or was that information held from the port?
Well, look, it's a bit of a paper trail now. And as of 1 o'clock yesterday, when they called a press conference, it was that the two government departments, which is the Federal Department of Agriculture and Border Force, had known about the sick people on board and that they hadn't told the state government, well, or the Fremantle Port Authority. Well, at its simplest, they had, as it turned out, sent an email to the health department. It's a particular the State Health Incident Coordination Centre, I think, is the name of that. It was the Public Health Emergency Operations Centre.
Yeah, yep.
And they got an email late on the 10:38 a.m. on the 22nd, which was the Friday.
Okay.
So they did know. They just didn't do anything about it. But the government points out that that advice said that no COVID was involved, and that's the reason they have given for not having acted on it.
Mm.
Also, yesterday, the Agriculture Department was denying that it knew any that any of these crewmen were experiencing elevated temperatures. Well, there is another email that says that they did know that they had elevated temperatures and hadn't passed it on. And the Federal Police also denied that they knew yesterday that there were sick people on board. Again, another email has emerged that they were advised. So people were saying things yesterday that were then disproved, including the government. Who said that they weren't told. So, you know, you can see it's a mess.
Yeah, so no one wants to take responsibility.
And there's obviously a degree of politics involved in this because, you know, you've got federal government, Liberal, you've got state government, Labor.
Yeah.
This whole notion of sort of national unity, you know, this national cabinet, that's been fractured for weeks now.
So much for a good bipartisan approach on this one, yeah.
Yeah, they're all taking pot shots at each other.
Yeah.
But it is embarrassing for the government because they, you know, McGowan wasn't told, and most of the higher ups didn't know. But that's because that email that went through to this sort of obscure part of the health department didn't act on it, didn't pass it on. So, you know, the information went to them, they just didn't do anything.
Well, as someone with about 400 unread emails in my inbox at the moment, I guess I can be a little sympathetic.
You're working at Power Bay.
That's funny because that's the excuse the government's pretty much using. It went to a general, a generic email in the health department. That the health department is one of the biggest, is probably the biggest department, is certainly the biggest spending department in WA. It's massive, and there are all these little cubby holes, and so I can understand how it got stuck in there. Yeah. But you know, at the end of the day, that's not a really good enough excuse. If you say that you weren't told, you want to make sure you weren't told.
Hey, Jeff, the Premier's been strong throughout the COVID crisis. He's been calm most of the time. He was ropeable yesterday. He'd probably be embarrassed at this point in time. But to our listeners listening this morning, what does it mean to them? Can people just continue to feel safe now that these people are in isolation?
Well, look, you know, I mean, the fact is we've got another six cases of COVID. It's come in on a ship. I think there's a distinction can be drawn between state barriers and sort of international barriers like the marine border about whether you could drop one and you know that argument's raging at the moment about whether we should be sort of allowing people from New South Wales to fly in. I think this is different. You know, this is something. All this really does is say, look, COVID's still around, and it can come from anywhere, and it could come from the east.
Well, Jeff, you know,
That's the decision that has to be made by the government. No, but I mean, you know, in this case, we've been landed. There's been a stuff up somewhere along the lines. It's probably a case of shared responsibility amongst all of them. But we've been landed with another six cases, and we'll probably get more out of that, ship.
Now we have to look at what we can do for the people who are existing on the ship, because there's probably people on there that it's now contagious. The whole ship has to be cleaned, and we've heard that the quarters there are also not necessarily people, they're not able to isolate, basically, that they can't keep the beds that far apart from people. So I guess it's watch this space to see if we can keep that ship moving on or whether or not we have to let some more of them off.
Well, as the Premier said at the press conference yesterday, his first thought was back to the Artania. So if you recall that, you know, they had to get all those people off, had people die off that ship, and then they had to thoroughly clean it. He made the point that they've got individual cabins, so it's easier to isolate on a ship like that rather than the, you know, the LQ-8. But they'll have to go in and do all that, and they'll have to make sure that no one's sick before they send it off to sea again. And then you've got 56,000 sheep cooling their hooves, their hooves or whatever they've got, you know, in a holding pen in Baldivis.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what the state government has to say. The players in this on 7 News tonight at 6, Jeff.
Crazy Matt and Kimbo in the morning.
On Mix 94.5.
The celebration of the GOAT, the greatest artist of all time, gets to artist number 18, one Edward Christopher Sheeran.
Edward Christopher Sheeran.
He's the man
today.
Of course, he's been to Perth a few times. He cares about his fans, let's be honest.
Yes. Oh, we love him here. I mean, why wouldn't he come back? But, you know, we're actually asking you to vote as well for Ed Sheeran's songs across the day. So on our Mix socials, or you can call 133353 and tell us your top Ed songs.
I've got to say, it was quite extraordinary. I was never a sort of a super fan, but to see that gig at Optus, to see one dude and a guitar. I mean, for a stadium gig, you're expecting some, you know, a big band, a big spectacular. Mm-hmm. One dude and a guitar. That's pretty cool.
It's pretty mind-blowing. We were at that gig together. That was that 2018, and that was such a massive tour, and that's when he broke the tour records in Australia and New Zealand of Dire Straits from the mid-'80s with Brothers in Arms.
Oh, and huge numbers. I mean, actually, Ed Sheeran's Divide tour was the number one highest grossing tour of all time. $775 million, right? That's $100 million more than the Rolling Stones made in their highest paid tour.
Right.
So about 260 shows he did for that tour. So incredible numbers.
Big numbers.
Yeah. So you put it into perspective. I mean, he sold more than 150 million records. He's 29 years of age, but he's already in that list heading up towards, I mean, McCartney's top of the wazza, right? He's a billionaire from music. And then you look at someone like Dr. Dre, but he's made his money, you know, with Jimmy Iovine and the Beats headphones and that as well. So not purely music. So then you're talking about Bon Jovi and Bruce Springsteen and those kinds of people. And Ed's approaching those kind of people who are at $400 or $500 million, which is incredible.
And have been around a long time.
Yeah, yeah. Even Ringo Starr. He's close to Ringo's fortune at $350 million, which is quite phenomenal.
And I don't know if he still sounds the same. The reason I remember when I went and saw him and I said, you guys, you must see Ed live, is what I really liked is that I do find some of Ed's music to be quite produced. Mm. And what I liked about him live was that it has this much more raw kind
Busker
of...
almost.
Sort of a bit more... I love that raw sound. He was really amazing to see. And I don't know if he still has continued that sound as he's become more famous.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen him in the movie Yesterday recently where he's working on his acting chops.
Right, I've got an idea. I think we can all agree that we're impressed with Jack's songwriting talent, right? So here's the plan. I'm going to go out that door, Jack's going to go out this door, and whoever writes the best song in 10 minutes wins.
What's the prize?
No prize, just being the best songwriter.
I was always told that there would be someone who came along that was a lot better than me, and you are definitely better than me, Jack.
You're definitely Mozart, mate, and I'm definitely Salieri.
From the movie Yesterday, with Jack had a little bit of an advantage because no one in the world knew that the Beatles existed.
Yeah, did he do Long and Winding Road?
Well, something like that. He blew him away. Yeah. But Ed Sheeran playing Ed Sheeran in the movies there.
He was quite good in that film.
He was pretty cute. Yeah, playing himself, which was great. So in December 2019, the official charts company named Ed Sheeran the artist of the decade. So he was up there with the best of the best already, let's be honest. He's got a good sense of humour too. And we also, our team were represented. We rocked up to the press conference at the brand new Perth Arena a couple of years ago. And he had this to say. Mate, welcome to Ed Sheeran Stadium. We named it after you, but it's just been finished.
Yeah, I've heard they've called the Melbourne Etihad the Etihad now.
Yeah. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Mate,
I'm sure there's going to be someone in Abu Dhabi that's quite annoyed about it.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's been mentioned about your, you know, how you feel about Missy Higgins. But is that the new criteria for you coming up with support acts? You have to have had a crush on them?
Yeah, it's a bit awkward. Everyone keeps telling her that I had a crush on her. Like, that was a long time ago.
So let's have a look at it. Ed Sheeran, what, a couple of £100 million, and he still seems to be loving life, and he is number 18 today on our greatest artist of all time, the GOAT search.
But he's still got neighbours who are complaining about his swimming pool.
Well, they are, aren't they?
Crazy Matt and Kimbo in the morning. On Mix 94.5.
Mix 94.5's got your back.
I got you, buddy.
With ABC Blinds.
I got your back.
Tell you what, we've been celebrating some sweet people with Mix 94.5's Got Your Back, haven't we?
Yeah, go Perth. You've sent us some wonderful nominations for people that are either doing it tough or just deserve to be congratulated.
Yes.
And rewarded, and it's been really nice reading your stories.
And we've been able to step up, giving people a dryer, a young lady that needed a dryer who was working in healthcare, and some KFC to some people who really wanted that.
Don't put your KFC in your dryer.
No.
It doesn't really work. Hey, Melissa's our latest nominator. Melissa, good to talk to you. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me on.
Melissa, you've gone and nominated your general manager, which is something that we didn't expect people would do. But tell us a little bit about Darien.
I've nominated Darien because she has worked exceptionally hard through this whole virus to really keep our employees on board. We've lost 50% of our business. Mm. We are through travel. And she has been trying her hardest to still give them some hours every week. And she's also given them opportunity to work in other facets of the business.
So, and obviously, Melissa, Darien, this business is important to her because it's been in the family. It's been there for a while.
Yes, the family has had this business for a long time now, over 20 years, I think myself. She is here in the day. She goes home at night. She's still working. I'm still getting emails from her at maybe sometimes 7, 8 or 9 o'clock at night because she is just so passionate about Northside Rentals.
Hey, Melissa, I thought I was an expert at sucking up to the boss, but you've taken my crown. And when the rain came, I got disappointed because I couldn't wash Erica's car anymore. But she sounds like a bit of a legend, this Darien.
She is. She's only 27 and she runs this company on her own.
Oh, well, Melissa, it sounds like Darien needs something special, so we'll give her a call and we'll celebrate her on your behalf.
Oh, excellent. Thank you so much, guys. I really do appreciate it and I know she's going to love it.
The much talked about Darien, good morning. How are you going?
Yeah, good. Good. Very, very surprised.
I'm sure you have no idea what's going on, Darien, but we hear that you are the general manager at Northside Rentals and that you've been working your butt off to make everybody there keep their jobs through all of this and generally working pretty hard.
I try to and try keep the team going and whatnot. It's been tough.
Well, it sounds like you're doing a great job and Melissa got in touch with us. And just said, look, Darien has done everything she can to keep people in work. And we know how hard that has been for businesses, particularly businesses that are directly and indirectly to do with travel and that and tourism. So, you know, Melissa and I'm sure all of your staff wanted to say thank you for all of your hard work.
Oh, well, it's really taken me aback. I almost want to cry.
It'd make great radio.
No, crying's good. Yeah, we don't mind tears.
Well, we're a family business and we try and keep it a real family vibe. It's really, really warmed my heart this morning.
We know you love a bit of a pamper session, right?
Yes.
Have a listen definitely. To this. Have a listen what Mix 94.5 and ABC Blinds have come up with for you.
Darien, we're going to give you $500 to spend locally and shat yourself a mini makeover so you can see the hairdresser or get a spray tan, do your nails, because we know beauticians will need all the support they can get when they open up. Yeah. But a little bit of a pamper session for you.
Oh, that's so good. Thank you so much.